Into the flex.
Hi, everybody. My name is Jimmy Carroll. I'm the Vice President of Operations at Tech B2B Marketing, and we're here on the Manufacturing Matters podcast. I have the pleasure of being joined by Ali Raja from ABB and, of course, my colleague, Wynn Harden.
Hi, everybody.
Ali, thank you so much for taking the time. We really appreciate it. Ali's from ABB, so, you know, most people know ABB, but if you could give us maybe a little insight into what's new and exciting at ABB and what you do there, that would be helpful.
Thank you, Jimmy. So, Ali Raja, I am leading the industries business for ABB Robotics. And actually, this is a very exciting year for us because we are also celebrating the 50 years of robotics industry. So, in 1974, there was a company in Sweden that launched the world's first microprocessor-powered robot. And now that company, at the time called ASEA, you know, they are part of our group and they put the A in ABB. So we are very excited to be here and celebrate 50 years of robotics, which has been really a fascinating journey for all the companies in this space. And this is one of the things that we want to celebrate together.
Absolutely. Are you doing, are there special events at ABB Robotics this year?
Yes, indeed. There is an event later this summer in Sweden. And it's not just for us to celebrate 50 years of ABB Robotics, but as the industry, we're coming together as a whole. So yes, there are some, and we see that we're also celebrating 50 years of A3 as an association here.
Right.
So it's it's coincidental. It all started together. We're all in the robotics field.
That makes sense considering the breadth of your robotic portfolio, which is I believe comprehensive and complete from deltas, scars, cobots.
This is actually one of the things that we feel very proud and honored because we've had a history of innovation when it comes to robotics. So the first microprocessor robot in 1974, and then ABB was the first company to introduce a Delta robot to the market. The first collaborative robot, which is Yumi, came in 2005. And then now we are also the first robotics company to integrate a full portfolio of AMR or mobile robots within our portfolio. Even within the AMR space, there's a lot of innovation. For example, the visual SLAM navigation, which we have just introduced, is unique to ABB. And this came through an acquisition of a company that we were working with in Switzerland, but we now just integrated them within our team.
Right.
It's been really a lot of focus on innovation, pioneering new technology, and really delighted to see how that has been adopted. Because, you know, when we think about what is our purpose or mission, and it's to really elevate work for a better society, and this is the role that robots are playing.
Right.
Elevate work and not take people's jobs, which is kind of something that's gone a little bit as it's kind of a tired storyline. Maybe, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago, that was one of the headlines, right? The robots are going to take people's jobs, and people are starting to finally realize, well, maybe that's not the case.
Yeah, I mean, we see a lot of data, and even yesterday we were at this presentation where they talk about millions of jobs are still unfilled. Mm-hmm. And even with all the immigration, there's no way to fill those jobs.
Right, over 8 million, I believe, good health and rising.
And we've seen that companies that are automating, especially using robotics, they tend to have more vacancies and more positions available because their teams are growing.
Right.
So it's upskilling jobs and creating new types of roles.
And opening up career paths beyond just assemblers, line level folks, they can manage work cells.
It's a huge need. I mean, I can give you just one example for US because we are here sitting in the US. There's a shortage of 400,000 welders. There's the backlog for welding is many tens of millions of hours.
Mm-hmm.
There is no way to fill that
other
than automation.
Yeah, and overtime is incredibly expensive. I mean, you know, when you've got to take your labor multiple and at least throw a 1.5.
And it's very bad for health if you do overtime welding 20 hours a day.
It'd be bad for my health.
Yeah.
Was ABB involved? Have you been, Seventh Sense was the company you acquired when you brought VSLAM in. That was a relatively recent
approach? Yes, this is only a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
But it's a very recent announcement. Mm-hmm. But of course, we've been working very closely with Seventh Sense for the last 2 years. And now, you know, with all the progress we've made on the integration of our portfolios, it just made sense to work together as one team.
Okay.
So 7sense is now 100% part of ABB Robotics.
So can you tell us a little bit about what it means to combine basically machine vision or visual acuity along with other LiDAR and other sensing mechanisms that you might be using in your AMR system? What makes VSLAM different from what's out there in the market?
So obviously you can see a few videos online and that explains it in a bit more detail.
Yes, sir.
What makes it different is more flexibility, because we're using a different kind of sensor for localization and mapping. So it's not just a 2D or a 3D laser, which looks at some of the aspects around. It's a much more in-depth information that you can capture from cameras, and there are multiple cameras on a vehicle, and that allows you to do almost like differentiation between what are fixed things, like a door or a pillar, and versus a trash can or a person.
Right.
Yeah, and then you, using AI, you're able to make decisions that I'm not going to count this thing in the map because this is going to move from here. And this kind of intelligent decision-making is what sets it apart from just a laser, which is looking at everything and say, oh, okay, I see an object, this is part of my environment.
Ali, you mentioned AI, and I wanted to ask about that, both in the context of 7sense, which you kind of touched on, but in general, AI, and as of late, large language models, generative AI in particular, has been kind of a hot topic, for better or worse, right? But what's ABB's approach or stance on that? Is there a place for generative AI in the industrial space?
That's fantastic. I'm really glad you asked this, because this is indeed a really hot topic. It's also one of our key focus. When we think about how can we bring more value to the robotic integrators, the automation companies in this space, is through taking the robot, like the base, the arm, and then adding some more intelligence, like AI-enabled machine vision or AI-enabled skills, which are specifically trained to do, for example, parcel handling.
Yes.
It's an area with a lot of need of automation, because the total parcel volume is growing across the world, and it's a very manual activity. Also, if you look at order picking or bin picking, these were applications that were very stagnant for a long time, because when you have a lot of variety of different packages, different sizes, shapes, some things are very reflective, shiny. AI is now unlocking some of these barriers or new applications, because we have now the ability to train the robots, they self-learn and get more accurate at first-time picks.
Right.
So we're now integrating these technologies within our robot modules, and then we deliver this module to other integrators, and that makes their life easy when it comes to integration and developing a complete solution. So not every company has to spend years to reinvent all the software and the AI behind some of these mainstream applications.
I'm curious, when you deploy AI, especially in the AMR context, and you're in a particular facility, and you mentioned that it's a learning model, right? So if the model's evolving and growing more powerful with the time, is that something that does that knowledge get shared across the AMR network, or is it localized to that?
So it's shared across the robot.
Okay.
And it's not specific only to AMRs.
Right.
Even when you look at industrial robots or cobots, when you have an integrated AI model, then any learning that you take from one bin picker or order picking robot, you can share it across the entire fleet. Can be on the same side or different sides in different locations, even countries.
Right?
Depends on how far the users want to expand that knowledge.
I want to ask about the AMRs. I don't want to focus just there, but I do have a question that's kind of interesting from my perspective is, what kind of access do you give your customers when it comes to data for fleet management? Like, how can they look at their data to improve operational efficiencies? Do you have software tools for that?
Yes, we do have some tools. We have now a single platform tool. We call it the AMR Studio. You've probably heard of Robot Studio. So it's a similar concept, which is the platform that you can use to control all the different types of vehicles in our portfolio.
Right.
And then there are specific tools for making layouts and designs and performance optimization tools that are all kind of embedded within the different layer.
Right.
The idea was to have one simple platform that, you know, when the users are training their engineers, their operators, they don't have to work with five different softwares and learn all of the different technologies from what used to be traditionally from different suppliers.
Right.
So one company was doing this one piece, and then there's another company that do the traffic management layer, and then the third one that can have a look and do the optimization of the entire solution. So we do all of that now in one platform. Plus there is a specific tool, which is the Optifact,
mm-hmm.
and that allows you to kind of look at all the different components, equipment, and things in your fleet, and then optimize the performance of the entire stuff.
Do new customers go through their training programs, or do they use Robot Studio and AMR Studio as part of the training, or do you have different sims for that?
So we have training modules for our customers who want to train their workforce on how to install, commission, and then operate and maintain the solution.
Okay. And you do have AI on both sides, both Robot Studio and AMR Studio at this point?
AI is, I mean, I wouldn't say that it goes across all of these modules.
Yeah.
It is application specific. So for example, if you look at AMRs, the SLAM navigation or the visual SLAM navigation is an AI enabled.
Right.
But not all other kinds of navigation that we have in our portfolio. Similarly, when you look at the traditional industrial robot portfolio, there are certain applications like parcel singulation or depalletizing or item picking. These are AI enabled.
Gotcha.
And we are bringing these as modules to the market so that the integrators can take these and then they can work a solution or a cell around it.
Well, it would have to be, because you need the pre-trained models to be able to be a foundational element.
Yes.
For that.
What? But these the pre-trained models is what we've been working on for the last 3 years. So.
Ali, one of the things that's kind of been an ongoing trend, and perhaps it's a little bit obvious, right? But a thread that we've heard a lot is ease of use. And you've kind of touched on it a little bit here, making things easier for people. But, you know, in addition to things like the labor shortage, which have been persisting and won't go away, like you were saying earlier, there's just certain jobs I think younger generations don't want to do. But ease of use, to me, is something that is helping to drive automation adoption. What are some ways, first of all, has that been your perception of it as well? And what are some ways that ABB tries to make their technology easier to the end user?
Ease of use is another key area. So not every company who are now entering this robotic space now train robot engineers. So we believe that robot needs to become as easy as adopting any other normal appliance that we buy today, and we can just take it out of the box, and after 5 minutes, we know how it works.
Right.
So this is the goal.
Yeah.
In the last few years, we've taken some concrete steps in this direction. So if you remember when we launched the new collaborative robot, the GOFA, it came with Visit Easy programming using Blockly. So that was a way to really make it easier for somebody who does not know how to do coding to learn how to program a robot. And then as a next step, we introduced the lead-through programming, which has a little click-through device, and you just hold the robot and you guide it on a path, and you click on different positions that you want to record, and then you can play it, and it just does that thing over and over again.
Right.
And now the next step, even more exciting, is ideas around voice-guided. So you just tell the robot what to do.
No, get it.
And this is an exciting new area. Let's see what is going in this space.
That'll be interesting. So yeah. You can't even translate what I say to my phone.
I can vouch for that.
Effectively, beyond 80%. Yeah, yes. I always like to make it a mystery what I'm
it
trying
to say. It needs to be like that. You just, you need to be able to give commands like you do to a person, and then they can execute. So this is a new exciting area where we will see a lot of innovation from ABB and also other companies.
Well, are you offering that now? Is that part of your AMR studio now, or is that a future
step? It is a future step.
Okay.
Very excited.
Yeah, super excited. My reads.
Ali, I'd like to, one of the things that I really like to ask is, you know, we go to shows and we hear from, you know, like Alan Bulio, we get high level 50,000 foot economy overviews, but folks like you, especially in ABB Robotics, you're across pretty much all major verticals that robotics is playing into. What markets excite you today?
I think some of the most exciting areas for us is where robotics is new and is enabling new applications.
Mm-hmm. Now,
when we think about, you know, where we're coming from, the past is robots inside factories, but automotive manufacturing, welding, cutting, probably, which is still a growing area. But in future, we say robots are outside factory, unleashed. And there, the most exciting spaces are healthcare and life sciences. It's an area which is almost entirely manual.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at lab automation, as the genetic medicine grows, the need for DNA analysis, sampling, and human producing DNA is going to grow exponentially.
Right.
And that's one area where robots play really a key role, because these processes have to be run 24/7. You cannot stop and start. It's very relevant for automation. Logistics.
Yeah.
Driven by e-commerce, but also driven by consumer behavior. That's an area where automation and robotics now play a really key role. Construction is an exciting one. Agriculture will also become quite relevant as we need to, the population grows,
that's a market that excites me a lot.
So we're very excited about these new areas. And some of the new technologies, this ease of use that you talked about, we talked about AI.
Yep.
All these are enablers for now robots being able to do some of these things that, frankly, a few years ago was not possible. Or not feasible commercially.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? Like, there's a lot of different components that go into a lot of these. Like warehouse automation, for example, there's a lot of different types of automation activities in the warehouse, and you get to see all of these different technologies advancing together to solve new problems. And that's not just the robot. I mean, it's definitely the robot, but it's from the software side, it's on the vision side, motion control, lighting, and it's just, you know, it's very fascinating to watch things kind of grow together, even on the industrial computing side, right? More powerful processors, more powerful GPUs to make things happen faster, more reliably. It's cool to come here and talk to people like you to see, you know, how you're leveraging these technologies and what that means to you. So, on that note, right, like in the general automation space, industrial automation, do you have any trends, observations, or predictions that you see in the next couple of years as being the next big thing, or maybe something will be the opposite of the next big thing, anything like this?
No crystal ball, to be honest.
Come on, Alex.
Yeah. In my view, I think we'll see more cloud computing. So my background is in warehouse automation, and I remember that whenever we used to design an automated warehouse solution, you pretty much always needed a room with all the servers and the hardware, and that room needed to be fireproof, and then you need to copy that room in another building in case this one burns down. Now, most of these cases, you can do all your computing in the cloud. So that's one trend that will continue. I think we will see the growth of AMRs, the most flexible way of transporting materials, and not so much conveyors anymore.
Right.
So conveyors
are the workshop.
We will see mobile manipulators. So a lot of companies are experimenting with a robot arm on a mobile platform,
right,
with some success in certain specific cases. I think this will grow. And there's many companies working on unlocking, for example, container unloading and loading completely autonomously. As we see more progress in this area, I think this will be a challenge that will be solved in the next 2 or 3 years. And that will be a huge enabler for many other applications.
Ali, I want to ask one thing that you mentioned in there is kind of the rise or the increased importance, let's say, of cloud computing. Are you finding that certain customers are less scared to put their data in the cloud now?
Yeah. Yes. Or is it hybrid edge deployments?
It's changing. There have been concerns, and there are different companies have different views on this.
Sure.
But we found that the benefits, they far outweigh the risk in some cases. Yeah. Even with sharing data on products. Mm-hmm. For example, when we talk about training these AI modules on millions of different products, in the beginning, companies were quite protective of their data. Now these are my products, I'm going to share it with my competitor. And now when they see that, well, you know, if you share, then they will also share. And then your model is a lot stronger and works better.
Right.
Then they're becoming more open that everybody wins.
Yeah.
So this is the,
do you think the new generations of Generation Z, you know, Alpha behind them, do you think, and their immersion in the digital universe, do you think that'll also change, including the, you know, growth of social sharing and other things, do you think that'll help also further change that? It just seems that there's a more willingness to trust the system.
Yeah.
Whether we've tackled all the cybersecurity.
Yeah, I think not. It's maybe not just blindly trust, but also, you know, the advancement or progress in cybersecurity,
mm-hmm.
that also allows companies to feel a little bit safer. You know, if they know that there's a way to protect their data and set some boundaries, then this is making it easier to make some progress from an innovation perspective.
Yeah,
it does.
Ollie, what else haven't we asked about that you are excited about at ABB or in the space in general?
I think we covered all the major topics. Like I said, I'm excited about
on the robotics side.
Yeah,
ABB goes far beyond that.
Yeah, I'm mainly, you know, I know more about robots than some of the other parts, but let's be safe. As a group, I would say I'm very excited about some of the technologies in EV charging space and infrastructure, sustainable technologies and products that is bringing. I feel proud to be a part of a group who are working to keep the planet cleaner and greener. So yeah,
we need help in that area, so that's important.
Indeed. Well, Ollie, thank you so much for taking the time today. We really appreciate it. Obviously, people can go learn more on LinkedIn or ABB.com. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's been really a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Of course, yeah. And if anyone has any questions, comments, wants to reach out, wants to join the podcast, manufacturing-matters.com. Thanks.
See you tomorrow.